Morning. Thank you for being here. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We're going to read some verses today. On the monitors, you see I have entitled this lesson this morning, Identity Crisis. You know, this is not only socially true, but sadly, many in the Lord's church have an issue with identity. What makes a person who they are? How do you identify yourself? People today choose to identify themselves by all of the wrong things. In our society, if you use the wrong pronoun, you offend, you hurt feelings, and they will tell you what they wish to be called, regardless of them being male or female. They'll let you know how they are to be addressed. And there are even cases where young children are marched off to the principal's office, if they even do that anymore, because they have addressed someone not by their preferred pronoun. It used to be that people identified themselves by their dress, by their talent, by their family, by their possessions, by their achievements, and even by their church. Many of us are trying to be someone that God did not create us to be. We lose ourselves and our identity in trivial and sinful things instead of finding our identity in Jesus Christ. There are those today who claim to be non-binary. Now, I don't know if you know what that means, so I had to kind of look it up to make sure that I brought out the correct answer. Someone who claims to be non-binary means that they do not identify as either male or female. That begs the question, then what are they? God, the creator of the world and everything in it, created man and woman. And in their image, created he, him, and her. It makes no difference how you want to identify. You are either going to be a male or you're going to be a female. And no matter what you might have in your brain is not going to change the fact of being male or female. You know, you can live in a fairy tale world where you yourself believe that you are neither male or female, but when the world looks at you, they're going to know that you're one or the other. Our identity should be in Christ. And our identity in Christ will transform who we are. Look, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 through verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, prince of the power of the air, and spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and we walked according to the world. But before Christ, we were no different from everyone else in the world. But God rescued us. He freed us from sin. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, which was read a few moments ago, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, our identity of who we are is in Christ. It's not what I think my identity should be, or what I want my identity to be, other than I am a male who is a Christian, who is freed from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I identify myself as a Christian. That's all. It's that simple. And then you look at Ephesians chapter 1, which should be just right around the next page or behind. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3 to verse 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Did you see where it's at? In Christ. So outside of Christ, there is no blessings. Because Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not in our human identity. He goes on, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God chose us. Do you believe that? But you know what? God didn't just choose us that are here this morning. He also chose those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ. He also accepts those who even don't even believe in him. Now, with that said, they're lost. Because if you remember what said there, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So outside of Christ, there is no blessing. God chose us. But if you look on down in verse 5, having predestinated us. And you know, too many people have the idea that what that means is that God predestined some to be saved and some to be lost. And you can't really change what God has already predestined. But that's not what it means. If you do a little bit of study, you're going to find out that before the world was formed, before the foundation of the world, God made the way for man to be reconciled to him. That was what was predestined, the way of salvation. Because not everyone is going to accept the salvation of God. God chose us. God predestined all those in Christ that they, now listen, that they would be his sons, his children. That's why we call our Father in heaven. Because we have been adopted as sons and daughters. But our adoption as a child of God is conditional. That's where the predestined comes in. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many receive him, to them he gave he power to become the sons of God. But as many as received him, Christ, to them, those who received Christ, he gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. We are only children of God if we are in Christ. So what is our identity? We're children. We're children of God. We're children of our Father. But you know, there are those that simply have in their own mind that they control their destiny, they control their identity, they control every aspect of life. But yet, we see here that if they don't receive Christ, then they'll never be the children of God. So what identity do we want to have? Do we want the identity of being children of God, or the identity of our own mind that we're greater and we can pick and choose what identity we want to have? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now everybody here, unless you have some ancestry that you don't know about, is a Gentile. We are of the uncircumcision. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Identity outside of Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Those who have their identity in the world, they are without hope and without God. But now, and this is for the Gentiles, okay? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The identity has changed. We were once afar off. We were once identified as worldliness, sinfulness. But now, in Christ, we were brought nigh by the blood of Christ. All right? To be God's children and a family. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, meaning the law of Moses, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace. So our identity now is in Christ, where at one time our identity was in the world. All right, he goes on. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In Christ, we all have access to the Father by one Spirit. And we have that access 24/7. Every hour of the day, 7 days a week, we can go before God in prayer, that those of old, the Israelites, the Hebrews, they couldn't. It was only the high priest once a year that would go in and offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people. We can actually go into the presence of our Father in prayer. So what's our identity? Do we identify as family in the household of God? Or are we still identifying ourselves in worldliness? In Christ, no matter how big or how small our physical families may be, we have an even greater extended family. You know, I think it's great that everybody here this morning identifies as a child of God. Now, even though we identify, does that mean that we've been forgiven? There's a lot of people who identify as Christian, but yet they've never sought forgiveness. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 7 through verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. There's no other redemption except through the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and purity. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's something that we need to hang on, because it is in Christ and him alone we have forgiveness, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. God removes our sins from us when we obey the gospel. Not sitting at home in front of a TV evangelist saying, put your hands up or put your hand on the TV and I'll say a prayer and you'll be saved. That don't work. Look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Why am I clear over there in the wrong one? Psalms 103. All right. Psalms 103, let's start in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. In other words, he's not always going to, you know, tap you on top of the head and say, watch out what you're doing. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his tongue forever. One day, we're going to have to answer for the identity that we chose while we're here on this earth. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's patient, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all to come. Whereas the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But do you remember where that forgiveness for our transgressions is found? In Jesus Christ, in Him crucified, the blood that He shed. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. God removes our sins. We can identify as being forgiven. As Christians, we can identify it as being free from sin and death. As Christians, we can identify as being fathered by God Himself through Christ. We can identify as being a family of God. And we can be identified as being forgiven. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Brothers and sisters, that passage right there is not talking about those in the world that have never obeyed the gospel. Those who have simply refused to accept the blood of Jesus Christ as the saving blood of having our sins forgiven. This is talking about those who have already obeyed the gospel and had their sins washed away. How do you identify yourself? I know in today's world, you know, people identify themselves in so many different ways. But are they true? Just because we claim an identity, does it make it true? But if we identify as a Christian, then we can know that we are what we are told from the Word of God, it's true. And we can stand by it and identify by it. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, then your identity is still in the world. You're still a part of the identity of worldliness and sinfulness. And the only way to identify as a Christian is to obey the gospel. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for the remission of sins. If that's your wish this morning, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see in your life that you have the wrong identity and you wish the prayers of the saints, would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Though your sins